Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
It's always great to be together. Wish everybody a happy Father's Day. When the family's happy, the father's happier. We're happiest. So everybody have a happy Father's Day. I hope you did and are and continue to. So, all right. We're here to worship tonight. Want to get started, so let's pray, let's sing, let's celebrate Jesus together. Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you are our loving Father. You are kind and generous, and that you are good all the time. We just praise you for being a great model for us of how a father should act and relate to his children. You love us unconditionally and immensely, and we're so grateful. And Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for showing us the Father. Thank you for your life, your example to us, your suffering, your death, your resurrection that gives us life and the hope of eternal life with you and with our Father. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here tonight. We welcome you in our lives. I just ask that you would have your way, that you would meet us, that you would reveal the Father to us in fresh ways. You would surprise us as you break in and have your way tonight. Be honored, Almighty God, I pray, as we sing and celebrate Jesus together tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.
To say yes to the Father. Good words. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us tonight? Am I on? How could my batteries be dead? I don't think I have more. I have one. I just changed these not long ago.
Didn't seem like it.
Well, anyway, somebody have a testimony while I see if one battery helps us? Yes, Wendy.
It's really neat because as the nurse in the unit, I probably couldn't do this because I would get into trouble and shoving my word further to not everyone or something. But my aide can step up and lead us in prayer in the morning, and she's done that a couple of mornings already, and the whole day just felt so much better and just blessed my God. So hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I am batteryless. Anybody got AA batteries in the car or anything? Jeff?
I had a similar situation. A couple weeks ago, we had graduation, and for some reason, they asked me to do the invocation and the benediction.
Okay.
So I did, and had a lot of parents and people come up to me afterwards. Pretty much say, well, if the principal thing doesn't work out for you, you should definitely go with the preaching.
That's awesome.
Well, good. You ready? I'll step aside tonight.
Nah, I think I'll stick with the principal.
I don't remember batteries going dead that quickly in that before. You're having trouble hearing me in the back, come front.
What'd you say?
Yeah. I brought my hearing aids to me. So good for me. All right. Welcome on Zoom.
Oh, I have one.
Okay.
I passed driver's ed this week.
You passed driver's ed this week? Yay! No comments, anybody, about how the roads will no longer be safe. Once
the roads will be fine if the sidewalks everywhere.
Oh, that's a good one. Well done, Eliza. I'm sure your parents feel like their parents did when their oldest got a license. Yeah. A little scary the first time, but then we have a taxi driver. This is awesome. So that's great. We're happy for you. Congratulations. All right. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe in you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Jeremy's been reading my sermon notes again. Great choices. Thank you. Shall we do a children's story? Looks like yes. I like the way people vote with their feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we vote with our feet.
Pick them up and put them down and get them in a place. It's very clear what you're saying. Well, we have people on Zoom tonight, so I'm going to stand here for our children's story, hoping that they can hear better than if I was over here. And so, how many of you like to play games? Okay, that's 100%. Over 100%. Somebody had both hands up in the air.
Yep.
How many of you like to play sports? Oh, yeah. What's your favorite play?
Basketball.
Basketball?
Basketball.
Basketball. Basketball.
We know horses.
What?
Horse riding.
Horse riding? No, no, that's not. Well, that's an Olympic sport, but we're talking about regular sports.
Like,
Isaiah, what's your favorite sport?
Tennis,
okay.
Soccer.
All right. I thought somebody would probably say soccer.
I have soccer.
All right. Well, let's see. I was thinking about when I was a little boy, I think my favorite sport was baseball. But that goes back a ways. And but there's some similarities to most all of these sports. What do you like about basketball?
It's fun,
you get to throw a ball. Okay. Oh, thank you. I have batteries. More power to me. Great. Thank you, Wendy. So why you play basketball so that you can throw a ball. All right. So I can go outside and just pick up a basketball and throw it and go chase it, pick it up, and go throw it and pick it up and chase it. Is that basketball?
No, you have to shoot in the basket.
Oh, you have to shoot in the basket. So you have to be on a court with a basket at each end, or at least one basket.
No.
And do you play alone or do you play with other people?
With other people.
And why do you play basketball with other people?
Because it's fun.
Because it's fun? Okay, so you just play for fun. Let me ask you this. Do you keep score?
Yes.
I don't.
Yes or no? Some
yes.
of you do, some of you don't.
Yes.
Well, why bother if you don't? Don't you play to win the game?
Sometimes I like to play for fun.
Sometimes you like to play for fun. Okay, well. You guys are little guys. I watched some basketball last night, I think it was. I watched the Milwaukee Bucks play against the, who did they lose to? Who did they beat?
Brooklyn Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets, that's who it was. And the Brooklyn Nets were supposed to be maybe the best team left to play, right? They had these three great big superstars that were better than other players on the other teams. And so they were supposed to win.
Big time going away. Hey, that's better, isn't it? Now I have a voice. Yeah. Thank you, Wendy. So, but the best team lost. And, you know, when you play sports, you do play, at least if you play organized sports, you play to win the game. And there's rules in the game, and you have to obey the rules. And if you break the rules, it might be a foul in basketball. And if it's a foul, the other team gets to shoot a basket or two, and you can't try to block it, right? So they can score points. They're called free throws, where you can't try to block them and keep them from scoring. Any other, you're allowed to block them, and so long as you only hit the ball, that's okay. And when you're passing the ball or you're dribbling the ball, if it goes out of bounds, what happens? The other team gets the ball, right? Right there where it went out of bounds. Okay. And so there's rules, and if you break the rules, there's consequences to breaking the rules. It's like the other team gets the ball, or the other team gets the opportunity to score points. And at the end of the game, somebody wins and somebody loses, right? Now, you've got the two teams and they're playing a game, but there's another group of people on the court too. Do you know who they are? The referees, okay. And what happens when somebody's going up to make a shot and somebody else bumps into them and knocks them off? That's called a foul, right? Okay. And the person that bumps into him says, oh, I'm sorry, that was an accident. I didn't mean to do that. Let's keep playing. And the guy that's shooting the ball says, oh, no, 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 that's a foul. You can't do that. You kept me from scoring. I would have scored if you hadn't hit me. And they get into an argument. Who settles the argument? The referee. And if the referee says that it was intentional and it was a foul, there's no change in that. It's a foul. Okay? Well, sports is a lot like life in some respects. And it's a lot like the Christian life in some respects. Because as a Christian, all right, we live to serve the Lord and we live to be obedient to God. But sometimes what happens? We sin. And we might say, ah, I didn't mean to do that, I'm sorry. Well, okay. If we really confess our sin and we truly are sorry and we repent, then we're forgiven. God forgives us, okay? But if we just say the words, that isn't what we're talking about here. But if God says that something's a sin, like stealing, and I took my brother or sister's favorite toy and I broke it intentionally just to make them mad, okay, then that's wrong. And I can't do that. So as a Christian, I wouldn't do that. But if I'm saying that I didn't mean to do it, and God knows I did, and God says it's sin, then it's sin. He's the referee. Okay, he makes the decisions. And so we either in or we're out. We're inbounds, we're out of bounds. We scored the point, we didn't score the point. We fouled, we didn't foul. And at the end of the game, we won or we lost. Now, in that game I was watching last night, they came to the end of the game, the end of the time for the game, and the score was tied. And so what do you think they did? Just walked away and said, okay, it's a tie game. We both go to the finals. No, they played another 5 minutes. They extended the game. They called it overtime. And if they'd have been tied at the end of overtime, they'd have played another overtime and another overtime until at the end of some overtime, one team was ahead. And as it turned out, at the end of the first overtime, Milwaukee beat the Nets by 4 points. And they won the game, and they get to continue on and play finals and the New York Nets get to go home and watch it on TV. Okay? They lost. That's the way it is with life and with God. God offers us a gift of salvation. And we either accept that gift of salvation or we don't. And if we accept that gift of salvation, then we win. And at the end of life, we get to go home and be with God. But if we don't accept that gift of salvation, we lose. And at the end of life, we don't get to be with God. And so it's really important that we make the right choice and that we follow God with us. Let's pray. Thank you so much. You give us the gift of salvation as we choose to receive it. And pray for these children that as they grow, understanding of you and salvation and your relationship with them will continue to grow and become ever more important to them. And that they will always choose to say yes to you and no. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were with us last week, you remember that I spoke on Ephesians chapter 1. And tonight, let's continue in Ephesians 2, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at just the first 10 verses. And this is just a really special portion of scripture in my mind and in my heart. I trust in our lives. I like what Paul writes here in Ephesians. He starts it off on such an upbeat and encouraging note. Okay? Here's what he says. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Okay. There's something to be said about Paul. He's not wishy-washy. He's succinct. Well, not always succinct. But he's to the point. He makes his point, and he makes it strongly. Sometimes he's a little wordy to get there. But, and this is something that we need to establish as truth and accept as fact in order to be who God wants us to be in the end. And if I disagree with this passage, if I say I was never dead in transgressions and sins, I was always saved, well then there's a question. How can you be saved if you already were? And if you had no need of a Savior, why did Jesus die? So I think it gets to the point of the question that we hear debated, and I've had it in theology classes that I've taken. I took a seminary class online that I'm thinking of specifically that the debate was, are people born naturally good? Or are people born naturally evil? And I hear Paul saying, ain't nothing good about you. Not the way you started. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. And that would be my argument on the point. I remember the side I took was that side. I said, if I take a child and I just allow that child to grow up with no direction as to what's right and wrong, they're going to become self-centered, they're going to be selfish, they're not going to consider the needs of others, and that's evil. Ultimately, they become evil. And a child has to be trained to do what's right. A child has to grow into maturity and learn right and wrong, and good and evil, and then make decisions to become good and to make healthy choices that lead to a healthy life and somebody that gets along in society. So I believe Paul's right. And the scripture says in Romans, which is another statement of Paul, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if you carefully research the Greek word for the word all, it means everyone. It means with no exceptions. It means all y'all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so here it is. Paul makes no apologies. You, me, I was dead. I remember talking with a person in a church that we attended in Oregon. And we were talking about repentance in our Sunday school class. And then we talked about it in the hallway outside afterwards. And I was making the point that we all need to repent. And to repent means that I'm going in one direction in life, and I realize that direction is taking me away from God. It's taking me away from where I want to go. And so what I need to do is turn around and go the other way and go toward God. That is repentance. And I was making the point that we all need to repent. And he says, do we have to turn around completely like that, or can we just kind of veer off toward God? And what I was hearing him say is, you know, I've been good all my life. I never was walking away from God. I've been in the church since I was a child, and you know, I was always going toward God, but you're saying I needed to repent? Yes. Because attending church is not going toward God. Being good is not going toward God. The scripture says, all of my righteousness is as filthy rags. All of the good that I do on my own amounts to a bunch of greasy, bloody, filthy rags that you don't even want to touch to put in the trash, let alone wipe your hands on or clean up the surface of a counter or workbench or machine or anything else. It just needs to be thrown out. And so unless God is moving in my life and redeeming my acts and my spirit and my attitude, my good works are worthless. They get me nowhere. They do not impress God. You know, a mother loves the art that her young child draws to put on her refrigerator door, and she does, and she tells that child how much she appreciates it and loves it, how wonderful it is. But when a visitor comes who is an art critic and looks at it, it's filthy rags. God's that art critic in that sense when it comes to judging our actions and our attitudes. He's the referee, if you will. He's the one that makes the ultimate decision. We're in or we're out. What we did was right and good, but what we did was self-centered, self-serving, and putrid in his nostrils. So this is who we were. We were dead in our transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now, let me give you the Reader's Digest condensed version of that. We all lived for Satan one time. And that's what he's saying. And I would say to that person who grew up in the church and always thought they were doing the right thing and doing good, that to the extent that it was self-serving, to the extent that it was selfish, to the extent that you were trying to make a good impression on everybody else so everybody would think well of you, to that extent, you were following Satan, not God. And to that extent, you need to repent, which means turn around, go the other way, and your attitude needs to change, your motivation needs to change, and your reason for living needs to change. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about Him. How can I love Him more? How can I serve Him more? How can I further the kingdom? So it costs me something to further the kingdom. You know, there are times I have to say no to a job because it would require me to do things that as a believer I can't do. Might be legal, but it isn't necessarily ethical. For instance, I could not be a doctor or a nurse who performed or assisted in abortions. I just couldn't do that. And there are other things. I couldn't be involved in, as a realtor, I get ads sometimes for businesses that are for sale. And I just saw that there's in California, I believe it is, or Colorado or somewhere where it's legal, there's a cannabis business for sale. And it's just $9.9 million. And it's one of the top 10 names in the business. I don't know what the name of it is. This is all the details it gave me about it that I looked at. Well, I'm not getting into the business of growing and selling marijuana. I'm just not. I can't do that ethically as a believer. I can't contribute to something that I know is going to be detrimental to so many people in society. And so there are some jobs that I have to say no to on the basis of my faith. And it might cost me some money. But that's a small price to pay to hear Father say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," at the end of my life. And so who do we work for? Who do we live for? And we need to come to the understanding that at one point in our life, we were all sinners. We were all lost. We were all without hope in the world. And we were living for Satan, whether we knew it or not. And unless we have repented, unless we have made a conscious choice to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and to choose to walk with Him, I understand the scripture to say we're still there. Okay? All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. When we were lost, when we didn't know Jesus as our Savior, when we were living for Satan, and by the very fact that we were living for Satan, we were fighting against God, we deserve God's wrath, His anger, His rage. We deserve eternal damnation. The wages of sin, the scripture says, is death. We deserve death. Here's what the good news is. But a hugely important word in this whole passage. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Wow. I thought, sure, I'd hear applause and people breaking out in cheers. Yahoo! Thank you, God. Awesome! What a wonderful God we serve. We can't take this for granted. This is not small potatoes. this is huge. This is it. This is what the scripture is about. Now, understand who we were. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Where the father had two sons, and the youngest son said, "Dad, I'm tired of living here under you and my brother. I got to go make my own way. Give me what I got coming. Give me my share of the inheritance. Let me go and live my life." And he did. He squandered it. And he wound up feeding pigs. And he was so hungry, he was ready to eat the pig food in order to survive. And then he remembered his father and his father's house. He said, "My father's servants are in much better shape than I am. I'm going back home and I'm going to try to be one of Dad's servants." Okay? So here's this Jewish father. And if you know anything about Jewish people, they despise pigs. They're unclean. They won't eat them. They won't touch them. They won't grow them. They won't hurt them. They won't do nothing with them. Okay? And so here comes this son home, smelling like pigs. And the father, Jewish father, well-respected man in the community, sees his son coming and runs out to meet him and embraces him. Pig smell, pig dirt, and all. That's who I was when God embraced me and welcomed me into his presence. He didn't leave me that way. The father didn't leave the son that way. He immediately told the servants, "Go get a robe, go get the ring, clean the boy up. We're having a party today." And that's what God does. He cleanses us, purifies us. He gets rid of all the pig smell, all the world smell. Everything related to that old way of life is put to death. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old's gone, the new has come. And so it is when we come to Jesus for our Savior. Because of his great love for us, so much love that I could have been a drunk, been skid row, filthy. I could have been strung out on drugs for years, a thief to support my habit, and my mind completely fried. And when I turn to God, he welcomes me, embraces me, just the way I am, and then cleans me up and makes me a new person, heals me. Gives me life. That's his great love for us, and he's rich in mercy. Now, if God is rich in something, that's beyond any of your wildest imaginations of what rich is. If I'm rich in something, you know, I might have a couple $1,000s. But if God's rich in something, I mean, we're talking quadrillions and more. Quadrillions is just as loose change. Okay? God's rich in mercy. He made us alive with Christ. Remember last week, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you? Yeah. Here it is. In action, changes us from dead to alive, from lost to saved. It's by grace you've been saved. Remember grace? That's God's unmerited favor. You didn't earn it, you don't deserve it, but God's rich in it. He wants to lavish it on you. His grace. Yes. And it didn't stop there. Wasn't enough just to give us life. No, he raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus.
in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So where are you then? He raised us up in heavenly places, it says. Well, we still have 2 feet on planet Earth. Okay. But we have a place in heaven. We have a place seated with the Lord Jesus. And we're welcome there. I believe we can experience his presence even now. And he does this in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. I like the picture of God's family room, God's living room. That's his family room. It's not formal. It's just where he welcomes us as his children, where he brings company in, brings guests in to relax with and to get acquainted and to visit. And in the coming ages, when God gets company, there we are. Maybe he's got us seated on the mantle above the fireplace. And he says, look, there's Earl. Isn't he a lovely creature? Look what I've done with him. If you'd have known him before I got hold of him, oh, what a mess. You talk about a walking pigsty. That guy had it going. But look what I've done. We can say that about each one of us. We need to understand who we were in order to appreciate who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, we're not in the pigsty anymore. We live in the world. But we're not of the world, the scripture says. And not of the world, we don't take on the stench and the filth of the world. We keep ourselves separate from it. We say yes to God. We say no to Satan and his ways. We say no to sin. We say yes to life. Yes to generosity. Yes to kindness. Yes to goodness. Yes to gentleness. Yes to joy and peace. And on and on. This is who God is, what he's done. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You cannot earn your salvation. No way, no how. Can't be done. Can't do it. I owed a debt that I couldn't possibly pay. And Jesus paid it. That's what he did on the cross. That's what his blood was all about. He was sinless. Because he was sinless, when he gave his life, shed his blood for the sins of the world, God accepted that sacrifice in my place. And I got washed with the blood of Jesus. And when I go into the baptismal waters and be baptized, that's symbolically being washed by the blood of Jesus. So it's important that I choose to follow Christ. And it's through faith. And you know, I have to believe who I was. I have to believe Jesus is who he said he was, that the Father loves me like he says he does, and that the Father offers me salvation. And as I receive that as a believer, I can't do it as an infant. I have to do it as a believer. I have to do it when I'm old enough to understand what's going on and make the decision for myself. My parents can't choose salvation for me. My faith has to be my own. You notice in the scriptures, God has sons and daughters.
He has no grandchildren. He has no great-grandchildren. I believe it was President Nixon was asked about his faith one time. I believe it was by Billy Graham. And the best he could come up with, my grandmother was a Quaker. Well, good for grandma. What about you? Where does that leave you? And unless you can say that I have been adopted into the family of God by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that I've accepted by faith, I'm not a son, I'm not a daughter. I'm dead in the transgressions of my sins. So I need to make a choice to receive and accept God's grace or to reject it. Doesn't matter how much good I've done. Because it's not by works. If it could be by works, Jesus did not have to die. And if Jesus did not have to die, God is not a good father, he's an abusive father. Because he sent his son to die on our behalf. But thanks be to God, he's a good father. And he only did that because there's no other way for us to have salvation than through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we don't brag about our salvation. Hey, I'm saved. I'm good. I'm really good. No, no. That's not godly. God's been so good to me. God's blessed me with salvation. I'm eternally grateful. I sure didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. But thanks be to God. The blood of Jesus washed me. And he cleansed me. And now, we go to the next verse. For we are God's handiwork. Okay? That's a good, important fact. You know? It's God that did the work in us. And the end result after our salvation is his work, and it's good. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, yes, as believers, we do good works. But those good works do not earn our salvation. And if we think they do, we're sadly mistaken. They are a result of our salvation, not the reason for our salvation. And as a result of our salvation, we do them not to show how good we are, but to show how good our God is. I am generous because I have a generous God who's blessed me abundantly. I am kind because I serve a kind God who's been kind to me beyond description. I extend grace to people because God's extended such grace to me that I have it to give. It's the good works flow out of my relationship with him. They don't come from within me to help others. That's self-serving. If it comes from within, it's self-serving. And that's not Christianity. That's works. And so I can't say it enough, that it's by grace we're saved through faith, not by works. So we have to make that choice. We have to step out in faith and say, I believe, Jesus, that you are who you said you are, that you paid the price for my sins. And I freely confess that I have failed miserably. And I desperately need you as my Savior, as my Lord. And I choose to follow you the rest of my life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. How I thank you You offer us the gift, the free gift of salvation. I thank you that I didn't have to impress you with my goodness, because in me there was no goodness until you came. And now, to the extent that you are in me and you flow through me, I am good. Because of what you've done, not what I've done. If I'm kind, if I'm generous, if there's any good thing about me, it's you through me. I thank you. Father, I pray that each person here will continue to find you in fresh ways, will choose to follow you as Lord and Savior, will walk with you in the freedom of salvation, so that together we can worship you around your throne for eternity with no one missing. It'll be your work, Lord, that does it. It'll be your grace, your mercy, your kindness that accomplishes it. Holy Spirit, search our hearts, know us, show us anything in there that's not like Christ. Convict us of any sin. And cleanse us, I pray. In Jesus' awesome name. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight, and God bless you with an awesome day.